Welcome to the Sunday evening evangelistic message with the President of Gospel Light Society and Torch Ministries International, Daniel White III. Today, Daniel White III is going to share with us a message titled, Why I Thank God for Jesus Christ, The Remix, Part 1. But first, let's praise the Lord with Dietrich Haddon as he sings, Do Not Pass Me By.
Do not pass me by. Jesus, why won't others? That would call you. Hey, 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 Savior, Savior. Lord, right now we need you. We need you to come back here, Lord. Save us, Lord. Save us, Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Praise God for all of that good singing this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend that God has in His mercy blessed us with. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causeth through us thanksgiving. You see that word thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. There's that word again, thanksgivings, thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God. They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Somebody ought to say amen to the word of God right there.
Amen.
Holy Father God, we humbly come before your throne of grace, thanking you for your mercy, your love, and your grace. And Holy Father God, we come before your throne of grace, thanking you and giving thanks for the many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us, for there are too many blessings for us to thank you for right now, one by one. Yet we do try to count our blessings so that we can be reminded of how good you have been to us. We thank you for the most important gift that you have given to us, the greatest gift that you have given to us, your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for him sitting at your right hand right now. And Lord, we individually confess our sins and failures and faults unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please forgive us of all unrighteousness of thought, word, and deed. Forgive us of grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit in any way. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit right now to preach and to share this message. Rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his host, Lord, from this time around your holy word. Help us to lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. And the church said,
amen.
You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I want to share a brief message that I have preached before many years ago. But we have added some things, and that's going to make this message even better. A message titled, Why I Thank God for Jesus Christ, the remix. Why I Thank God for Jesus Christ, the remix, part one. We have just come, as you know, to the end of another long, wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. God, in his mercy, love, and grace, has allowed us to do that again. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I can tell you that, as always, I have enjoyed this season thoroughly. And I thank God for the blessings that he has bestowed upon not only me and my family, but this country as a whole. And I trust that you have enjoyed yourself as well. Some of you may not have enjoyed your family that much, but you enjoyed the food. Amen.
Amen.
During this time of the year, our hearts and minds turn to the many things that we are grateful for and should be grateful for every day of the year. And I truly have a lot to be grateful for, and so do you, because God has been good to me. God has been gracious to me and to my family, not only my immediate family, but my family extended. And if you're living today, God has been good to you. God has blessed us immensely. My dad used to sing a song titled, God Has Smiled on Me. I wish I had my dad's talent. I would sing it for you this morning. But if I tried to sing it to you, you might run away. So we're going to leave that alone. God has smiled on me. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Now let me leave that alone. Let me get back to preaching. But God has smiled on me. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And God has smiled on you. If you're living, you might be sitting on a bench on the corner and might be living there. But if you are alive, and if you had some cornbread to eat and some beans, God has smiled on you. God has smiled on us. If you can see the sun this morning, amen, somebody.
Amen.
God has smiled on you. Mm-hmm. If you can get up under your own power and go to the restroom by yourself, God has smiled on you. God has smiled on us. And the Lord, of course, has shown us great favor and mercy and grace down through the years. If it were not for the Lord, we have to say with the psalmist, where would I be? God has blessed, as I said, not only me and my immediate family, but my family extended. We haven't had any tragic deaths in our family. As far as I know, most people, if not all people, have died of natural causes, if you will, at a ripe old age on both sides of our family. And we thank God for that. But God has been good to you and your family and everyone living today. Makes no difference who you are. God has no respect to persons. He is... God loves everybody the same. God has blessed me with many children, and I love them all the same. I don't have any favorites, never have had any favorites. I am taken aback when I hear people say that they have a favorite child or some foolishness like that. Dear friend, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Paul tells the Corinthians in verse 11 of our passage that they have been enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. By way of personal testimony, my life has indeed been enriched by the bountiful blessings of God. At the age of 52, I still have my health and strength, even though I'm starting to feel some things that I never felt before. The Lord has blessed me with many beautiful and healthy children. All of my children are healthy and have always been healthy. None of my children have ever been in the hospital, have never had an earache. And I think it's because God gave me the wisdom to lead my wife in nursing our children when they were young. I didn't know anything about it, didn't know why he was leading me to do that, but that's because I was not nursed, and nor any of my siblings, but somehow God put that in my heart. And all of these children, they never had any Similac or milk or anything like that. And they don't have any cavities. They have never been to the doctor for an earache or anything like that. So I thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for my wife and all of my children. The Lord has blessed me with a son born on my birthday, a baby son, and my baby daughter born on my birthday as well. I thank God for these blessings. And make no mistake about it, children are a blessing from the Lord. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I enjoy the blessings also of good food to eat and clothes to wear and a place to stay. Since I first preached this devotional message in a small church in a small city called Apalachicola, Florida, where my mother was born many years ago, going towards 30 years ago. Thanks be to God, I have been serving the Lord in the ministry full-time and have raised a family of nine by the grace of God, by faith in Him. And I mentioned this before, and I'll say it again, we have never been on food stamps. That is not braggadocious. If the Lord leads you to do that, that's fine. I just believe that God's people ought to depend upon God and leave the food stamps for those who don't know God. And no one is looking down their nose at anybody. But thanks be to God. God has always supplied for our families. Now, we might not have been able to eat filet mignon every night, but God has provided for us by faith, and God will do the same for you, and has done the same for many. God has taken care of me, my wife, and all of my children by faith in Him. God has been good to me, and it has been a joy serving Him. Anytime the Lord wants to come in the rapture, I'm ready to go. And I'm only here trying to get as many as I can to go with me. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But I must say here today, the person that I thank God for the most, other than God the Father, of course, is His Holy Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the lily in the valley, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Jesus Christ, the God-man, I thank God for Him. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Whom the Bible calls the unspeakable gift. Why I thank God for Jesus Christ. I feel that particularly as we head into the Christmas season and all of the commercialism that unfortunately goes along with it, and by the way, whether you like it or not, it is of the devil. It is designed by the devil to divert your attention from the real reason for the season. It is diabolical for people who really, most of them, who do not have a whole lot of money, running and crowding upon others and pushing others down and everything else to go to a store to get some material thing that they are not going to be interested in 2 weeks after they get it. It is absolute mayhem. It is ridiculous. It is foolishness. And I don't care whether you like it or not. It is of the devil because it is designed to get your attention on material things instead of Jesus Christ, who was against materialism. So this unfortunately goes along with this season because of the worldliness of many people, and I hope to God, God's people were not out there pushing and shoving to get a television. That if they just wait right after Christmas, they can get it cheaper. It's good for us to do as that old hymn says and turn our eyes upon Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
To turn our eyes upon the Lord, to refocus on Him, the true reason for the season. If you are a child of God, you ought to be saying with me, I thank God for Jesus Christ. You ought not to be looking for a gift or trying to get a gift. You should not be worried about trying to making sure that you give your 75 friends on Facebook a gift and hoping that you get 75 back. You don't need to be concerned about that. You need to be concerned about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason for the season. And before you get back to your shopping and gift buying, as some of you will, and gift giving, as some of you will, I want us to take this time together today to focus on God's unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift to you and to me, to all of us. That word unspeakable means something so wonderful, so absolutely wonderful that words cannot even describe it. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Today I want to share with you three reasons why I thank God for Jesus Christ. Three reasons today, and then I will follow this up with another message, part two, and that will be it, with three more reasons, maybe four. First of all, I thank God, ladies and gentlemen, for Jesus Christ because He gave His life that I may have eternal life. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And that you may have eternal life. I know that this verse is quoted often, but it is a verse worth quoting. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His name is Jesus, that whosoever," that means anybody and any time, "believeth in Him should not perish," perish where? Perish in hell, "but have everlasting life," where? In heaven, with God. That verse is still good today. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, yes. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about, to die on the cross for your sins and for mine, so that we can avoid hell that we deserve, hell which we deserve, and go to heaven to be with God. Jesus paid it all. Jesus said, "It is finished. I have done it. I've done the thing so that you can be set free." Amen, somebody.
Amen.
In case you haven't realized it yet, we would not have eternal life if it had not been for someone, His name is Jesus, giving His life for us. Our sins stand in the way of eternal life. Our rebelliousness against God stands in the way of eternal life. A debt that we cannot pay stands in the way of eternal life. Eternal life costs something. It costs somebody something. His name is Jesus. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But thanks be to God. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sin and our rebelliousness, our stubbornness, our Judas behavior, our betrayal, our disobedience, our fornication, our adultery, our adulterous hearts, our lying, our stealing, all of our sins, our party hard, jam, boogie, down at the club when we know we ought to be getting ready for church, when we don't even go out until 1 o'clock in the morning. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. We didn't know what we were doing. We thought we were doing the right thing. Back in my day, if you were not committing fornication, we thought that was a sin. We thought something was wrong with you. We criticized and ridiculed people who were virgins. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Ellis J. Crumb wrote a poem that goes like this. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sang a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay and that you can never pay. The only reason why we have eternal life and a home in heaven is because Jesus Christ came down from glory to bear our sins on the cross, every last one of them, and open the way for us to begin a real relationship with God. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, I thank God for Jesus Christ today. How about you? Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Second today, I thank God for Jesus Christ because he keeps me by his grace. He keeps me by his grace. Verse 8 of our passage says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And I know that this text is primarily talking about giving, but grace covers everything. Grace to live right. Grace in the midst of temptation. Grace to live around evil people. Grace to be able to keep your mouth shut so as to keep your life. Grace to avoid certain things, to avoid certain people. Grace to do the right thing, to think right. Grace to pray when you don't feel like praying. Grace. Ladies and gentlemen, God can have all of that grace to abound towards us in every area of our lives, not only in the giving area and in the receiving area once we give. Ladies and gentlemen, our salvation is made secure because of the abundant grace of God in our lives. Abundant grace. Big, sunshiny grace. That kind of grace. All powerful grace. We are saved by grace. We are delivered from sin by the grace of God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We are saved by the grace of God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And we continue in the Christian walk because of the abundant grace of God in our lives. In the words of the Prince of Preachers many years ago, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he said, "It is all of grace. It is all of grace." Stop thinking that you are somebody important. We got too many preachers today who think they are somebody. They really think they are important. We got some preachers who believe that just because they wrote a book and it was successful, that they are somehow the Baptist Pope. and what they say is, as the Catholics call it, ex cathedra, something, some foolishness like that, that what they say must be listened to and must be followed, and that's just not the way it is. What we need to do is hear from the Word of God, and we must listen to that and follow that. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We need to humble ourselves down and stop thinking that we are Baptist popes going around telling other preachers what they can do and what they can't, and thinking that their way is the only way. John 10:27 through 30 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Wow. You can be confident then, my dear friend, knowing that your salvation is secure. No, it is not secure because of who you are or what you have done or what you can do. If it was depending on you or me, we would not have salvation at all. But by the grace of God, amen, somebody.
Amen.
You have salvation, and I have salvation through Jesus Christ, and that salvation is secure. I like what Benjamin B. Warfield said. He said, "Grace is free, sovereign favor to the ill-deserving." Beloved, never forget that. We got some folks who believe in Calvinism, but they're proud about their Calvinism, and they stand tall and erect, thinking that they're somehow better than others. But God, if you really believe Calvinism, you'll be some of the most humble people in the world. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I thank God for Jesus Christ, because we have the assurance of salvation through him. We are kept by his grace. We cannot lose the wonderful salvation that he has wrought. I thank God for Jesus Christ, and so should you. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Third and lastly today, my beloved, I thank God for Jesus Christ because he is able to keep me from falling. He's able to keep you from falling. Verse 8 of our passage goes on to say that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, a change is made in our hearts, and we begin to do good works by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is able to keep us from falling and to keep us doing good works by his grace and by the power of his Holy Spirit. However, the temptation to do evil does not end just because we get saved. The devil still tries to get us to sin and disobey God. But I am thankful today for Jesus Christ, who set the example of what we should do when we are faced with temptation. And by his power in our lives, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word of God, we can resist the devil and keep from falling into sin that will hinder us from doing the good works that God wants us to do. Jude 24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I like that. I like that from Jude. But let me just say this to you, for those of you who have fallen, who have been tripped up. The Bible tells us that a just man falls seven times, but God raises him up back up again. And let me just tell you this. This falling here is not talking about yielding to a temptation and so forth, but falling and never getting up. Falling and never getting up. Christians, when they fall, when they make a mistake, they have the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. They have the Jesus in them to get back up. It reminds me of a little toy that I had when I was in a little boy and living in Brooklyn, New York. We lived on 722 Chauncey Street there in Brooklyn. I remember this so clearly. I was a little boy, and my mom and dad, one Christmas, I believe, bought me this little boxing thing that had a bunch of sand at the bottom of it. They blew it up, and it was about my height, and they told me to hit it. And that's how I played with it. I had to hit it with my fist. But when I hit that little boxing thing, I haven't seen this in a while, so I don't know if they still make them or not. It would bounce right back up. And sometimes it would bounce right back up and hit me and almost knock me down. That's how the Christian is. The devil may knock them down temporarily, but by the grace of God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit, that dear Christian will get back up every time. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, yes, that dear Christian will get back up every time. I don't know a Christian who has, a true Christian, who has just totally fallen out of the race and is just has just quit. I'm here to tell you that if you're truly born again, when you fall, you'll get back up because you got Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. Amen, church.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, of course, as I said, this does not mean that once we are saved, we are perfect. However, any sins that we do commit after salvation ought to be few and far between. You ought not to just be living in sin. For the Christian, it is extremely uncomfortable to live in sin and to even live around sin for many of us. And we should be quick to confess our sins and repent of our sins and get back on the straight and narrow by the grace of God. I like what John Gill wrote in his one of his writings. He said that Adam and Eve, in their state of innocence, could not keep themselves from falling into sin. I mean, they did fall into sin. The angels, in their state of perfection, could not keep themselves from falling into rebellion with Satan. And we, in our state of sinful imperfection, certainly cannot keep ourselves from falling into sin. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ keeps us from falling into sin. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
My beloved friend, there's only three reasons why I thank God for Jesus Christ. There are many more reasons that I could get into today, but for the sake of time, we will pick that up in another message, if the Lord tarries His coming and we live. As you go into this new Christmas season, I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Yes, enjoy yourself. I certainly will. Yes, spend time with your family and friends. But keep the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I tell my family when we have relaxation times, vacation times, down times, somebody has to keep a sober mind. Somebody has to remain vigilant and watchful. And you can relax and enjoy yourself, but you can also keep your mind on the Lord, stay in prayer, watch that devil over in that corner, because he'll jump on you right on while you're going on a vacation or something like that. He'll jump on you And he'll jump on your family because he feels that your guard is down. So don't let the devil get the advantage of you. Throughout the Christmas season and the New Year season, be prayerful, be sober-minded, be vigilant. Read the Word of God. Keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him the glory for what He's done for you. Every gift you buy or give or receive, have it go to the glory of God. And then think about being a blessing to the Lord by taking care of the poor. Love on the poor. There's no need for you to discuss or be concerned about how the poor got poor. Just help the poor. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
You need to give to the poor. There are many great organizations to give to that feed the poor and take care of the poor. And if you can, you need to break away out of your comfort zone and go meet the poor where the poor live at and be a personal, direct blessing to them. Now, if you are with us today, beloved, and you have never received the free gift of salvation, the unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, I hope that what you heard today placed a strong desire in your heart for you to have a real relationship with the unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ. Now, dear friend, if you want to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ today, the Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All you have to do is pray and ask Jesus Christ to save you today, and He will. And you can begin thanking God for Jesus Christ as well. I mentioned to you earlier John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, the phrase, for God so loved the world, means very simply that if you are in this world, God loves you, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done. You may have murdered somebody. God still loves you. You say, preacher, I don't understand that kind of love, and neither do I. But I'm here to tell you as His messenger that God still loves you. The next phrase, that He gave His only begotten Son, refers to Jesus Christ. He is God's Son who suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And He was buried and rose again. Our next phrase is that whosoever believeth in Him, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. The phrase believeth in Him means to trust in Him, to depend upon Him, to rely on Him, or to have faith in Him for your salvation. Our next phrase, should not perish, beloved, refers to eternal punishment in a place called hell. Hell, I didn't write that. God put it in His Word. And lastly, the phrase, but have everlasting life, means to live eternally in heaven with God. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, saved from the power of sin that has us in bondage. Beloved, if you want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, you can pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner, and that I have done some evil things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today and forever. Amen. Dear friend, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in your heart, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven, and the devil can't stop you because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent you and all of us the unspeakable gift named Jesus Christ. So give him thanks and give him praise. We love you too, and may God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this Sunday evening evangelistic message. If you would like to read our pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door, or if you have a prayer request, visit us online at GospelLightSociety.com. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now here's the Rance Allen Group singing Living for Jesus. God bless.
So strong, I feel like going on. Yes, I do. I feel like shouting and raising my voice. There's
something about living for Jesus.
Yeah.
Feel good. Oh, yeah. Feel like dancing
and moving my feet.
I can feel the Holy Spirit moving.
Yeah.
to praising God like I really want to. My hands are going, my feet are dancing. Something happens and it, fellas, let's tell them what happens. I feel
so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Just living for Jesus.
I'm living.